We only want the new wine. Amen. All right. Lord Jesus, Father, we just come before you tonight. I ask you, Almighty God, that you would just remove all of me, Father, and to let your truth come out. Father, what you have desired for your people, you will provide. Lord, I thank you that my words will be your words, and that my thoughts will be your thoughts. Lord Jesus, allow the hearts and the minds of your people to receive exactly what you have desired for each and every one, that you would minister to their spirits, Lord Jesus. Now, Father, we just submit ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, have your way here in your precious and mighty name, Jesus. Amen. So I read a quote earlier this week about the early church, 1729, and how one of the pastors was saying that the church needed revival. And here's why it needed revival. It needed revival because they had baptized an entire generation who were unconverted. Because they were baptized as children. But then they were allowed. See, in those days, church membership had requirements. You had to show the evidence of salvation. Imagine that. Imagine, oh, hello, Mr. Smith. It's come to my attention that you have been debaucherous and running about not following the teachings of Christ. We can't have you in church anymore. I went, interesting thought. But to them, this was a very natural thought. Why? Because everyone wanted to be in church. Everyone wanted to be part of the church. Even those who were unconverted. And here's what this great pastor said. He said, the reason that we have churches full of unconverted is because some of those who are preaching are unconverted. I went, and so he began to teach on salvation and the truth of salvation, which means a conversion. Now get this. I want you to think about this. This man began reading the Bible at age 3. By 9, he was fluent in Greek and Hebrew. By 13, he was at Harvard. And by the way, it wasn't these lower standards like today. You don't need to take a test. We'll just kind of let you. I mean, they were rigid standards. And I was just amazed at how far we've come today. I mean, honestly, just talking with people. And seriously now, if people have a pulse, they're considered intelligent. When really, we need to show ourselves approved workmen. Right? Approved workmen who are not ashamed. Those of you who've had your kids in Awanas know. Approved workmen are not ashamed. Why? Because they have proven themselves. So, this has very little to do with what I'm going to talk about tonight. But I want to ask you a question. What is the evidence of your salvation that others would see? What's the difference that they would see, even if they hadn't known you in your past life? See, some of us go, well, I'm not as bad as I used to be. which means, let's see, I'm better. Those of you who are Sunday know what that means. I'm better than I used to be. I don't drink as much as I used to. I heard this one. How would you, as married people, feel about this as far as level of commitment? I'm going to tell you what. I am going to be mostly faithful to you. I'm going to be mostly faithful. Okay, wait. I'm going to really step it up from just mostly faithful to I'm going to be almost faithful to you. Now, how many of you would appreciate that as a married couple? Yeah, no. Get big fat goose egg. Then why is it that we're willing to do this with God? And because it's not about I'm going to make a commitment to my spouse. It's that I won't keep my commitment to me. I'm going to get up and read my word. Unless I'm sleepy. Unless I was too tired from the night before. Unless I played video games too late or I watched a movie or, you know, I'm just not feeling good. I mean, I want you to think about this faithfulness from a spousal standpoint. If you came home to your spouse and went, you know, I really wasn't feeling good today, so I was unfaithful to you. I was really tired today, so I was unfaithful to you. I was, my boss yelled at me, so I was unfaithful to you. I saw something shiny, so I was unfaithful to you. I mean, really? And yet we do that so easily. I saw a movie, and so I just took 2 hours and was unfaithful to you. But it was only 2 hours. And yet, we'll commit 2 hours of our time to a movie, to, no. Tell her we're praying for her. We'll spend 2 hours of our time on mindless things that add no value to our life when we won't keep our commitment to, I'm just going to read your word 10 minutes a day. I hear this all the time. I just didn't have time. Take that home to your spouse. I didn't have time to be faithful to you today. Sorry. See how that flies. When you wake up with a giant rock mark on your forehead, or you don't wake up, or you wake up before the pearly gates, Lord, how did I get here? Oh, that faithfulness thing. Gotta say, sent you home quick. Anyway, that's just to you. I mean, that's just to you. Will you be faithful to you? Because if you can't be faithful to you, how can you be faithful to anybody else? Just a thought. Anyway, that had very little to do with what I want to talk about. Actually, it had nothing to do with what I want to talk about. Just random things come into my mind sometimes. You know, I just have to... Side note, right? Okay, so tonight's message, actually, Kimmy, if you want to mark it, is fear and faith. Fear and faith. So I have probably heard 1,000 sermons on faith. I've probably heard 1,000 sermons on fear. I've heard several sermons on faith versus fear. So I'm going to kind of toss a curveball at you and give you something completely different. Okay. So, Joe, what's that? What's on it?
A head.
What's on that?
An eagle.
Tails?
Tails. I don't know.
No, you're fine. Hey. Heads and tails, right? But like Joe said, Rebecca, what's that?
It's a quarter.
So here's my summation to you. Fear. Faith. Fear. Faith. Not even so much opposite sides, but the same coin. It's absolutely the same coin. And here's why we get so caught up with fear, because people are like, fear drive. You know, when you make a decision, what's it based on? Fear or faith? Because here's the answer, and I'm going to tell you, it's based on faith. Now, here's why. Now I've got you like, oh. What is fear? It's faith in something. It's faith in something. You're going to put your faith in something. Even an atheist. This is the funniest thing to me. Atheists. I don't believe in faith. Really? I told my brother this, who claimed to be an atheist. I said, that is the biggest pile of poop. I said, honestly, you have so much more faith than I do because you believe that everything came out of nothing. How incredibly your mind must work to grasp hold of that much faith that absolutely everything, and you're a scientist, so all mass came out of nothing. That's amazing. I have so little faith that I have to put my belief in a supreme being who created everything and spoke it into existence. Because my faith is minimal compared to yours. He's like, oh, shut up. But see, what that told me is faith and fear are really the same thing. It's just where you're going to place your faith. So fear is simply placing your faith in disaster. It's placing your faith in things that are out of your control. It's placing your faith in the worst possible outcome. Now, I think there's some demonic control in this. If I turned all of these lights off and it was pitch black in here, I guarantee you that some of you would begin to go, nervous, starting to get nervous. How many of you have ever gone into a pitch black room where you knew absolutely everything was? And if you just sit there for a few minutes, like as a kid, how many monsters come crawling out of the closet? How many fears begin to manifest? Am I right? See, instead of, why is it that we have faith in those things so simply? And yet, we have the Creator of heaven and earth who said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Wait a minute. I have not given you a spirit of fear, so where should your faith be? If God has not given you a spirit of fear, why do you put so much faith in it? Really? Did you read the end of the book? Do you know who wins? Do you know who ends up in the lake of fire? To spend eternity separated from the love of God? By the way, if you believe in Jesus, if you've confessed Him with your lips and believed in your heart, then it ain't you. then why do we put so much faith in the loser? That's like going home, DVRing the LSU-Alabama game, knowing that LSU wins, and placing all of your bets on Alabama.
Come on.
And then watching the game. And yet we do that. We know who wins. That's faith. Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things unseen. And so, what is fear? The substance of things dreaded. The evidence of things unseen. They, aren't they just identical? Really? It's simply faith in the wrong thing. I mean, so when you get all that, well, I just shouldn't be fearful. I've watched people go through panic attacks like they thought they were going to die. Seriously. And as a human, I looked at him and was like, you might die. I mean, do you know that you can kill yourself with fear? You literally can cause your body to go into overload at such a level that you will drop over dead. I don't know why you would do that, but I've watched people's heart rate go over 200 just in a panic attack. What are you afraid of? I don't know. Okay. I fear death. Well, that's where you're heading. That's like jumping in your car doing 110 miles an hour at a brick wall going, I fear crashing. Yep. You have faith in crashing. You're exactly right. So when you make those words interchangeable, not I am driven by fear. I'm driven by faith in the enemy. Does that change your perspective a little bit? It's like, I fear that God is going to fail and the enemy is going to win. Who can call themselves a Christian with that belief? Well, you can't. But when you go, well, I'm just afraid that I'm not good enough for God. No. How about this? I have faith that God is not big enough to redeem me. Ooh. I have faith that Christ's sacrifice on the cross was for everyone else, not me. He needs to get back up on that cross, put a couple more nails in, and die again because my sin is huge. Amen or oh me, because see, this is what happens. We get caught in this lie of fear. When you grasp a hold of this thought that fear is simply faith in the wrong thing, take the book of Revelation and just rip it out. There's no end. I think we lose. By the way, read the book. It happens. New Jerusalem comes down. We are all lively stones fitly joined together. Do you know who those lively stones fitly joined together are? You and you and you and you. We become the very walls of the city of God. Lively stones fitly joined together. I'm like, wow. Have you ever seen them build a rock wall? If you've ever watched somebody, this is an incredible thing because they will take each rock just to fit it just perfectly. No, that one doesn't quite fit there. That one, okay, I need to chip this one just a little bit. That's what God is doing to us. He's like, I need to knock just a little bit off of Rebecca. I need to smooth that area of Jeff. I need to take that and break Joe just a little bit so that he fits perfectly in the spot that I've created for each and every one of them, so that when the New Jerusalem comes, my glorious church is lively stones fitly joined together. What an amazing thing. The body of Christ finally fitly joined. Because today, we're all like, you bumped me. You hurt me. I don't like the way you sing. I don't like the way you... You parked in my spot. You took my chair. Me, 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 me. It's hysterical. It doesn't happen here because we're, you know, we're small. But look, we came from a big church where I remember some new visitor came to sit in a pew. And the people who normally sat there came up and went, "That's our seat." Excuse me? I was like, did that have your name on it? Well, we sit there every Sunday. So what? Really? But that's what happens when we get driven by faith in the wrong things. What was that faith in? Faith in my commonality and comfort and my lack of change. How many people here like to change? How many people are comfortable in change? I don't care who you are. Look, I can do change. I can do sameness. Change is never comfortable. Never. Now, I had a friend whose wife used to rearrange the furniture all the time. This guy, too, I told Beth, don't you move no stuff without telling me. And, you know, she'll move stuff, and I'd be like, okay, I can deal with it. But that's just in those minor things. But really, change, when God tells you to change, how easy is it for you to do that? I mean, ask yourself, God says, you know what I'd like? I'd like you to get up at 7 in the morning when your normal time is 10. Just saying, there was no names attached. What if God said, I want you to wake up at 4 in the morning and I want you to spend 30 minutes praying? Then most of us would name our pillow the Word, put our faces on it, and say we spent time in the Word. That's an old youth joke. Young people love that. But look, I mean, a Sunday ago, I challenged people just to turn off your cell phones, your computer, your television, your radio, and just find silence. And in that silence, see if you found the voice of God. I had some people who were relatively adamant that that was not for me. Ew. I don't believe. Get thou behind me, Satan. Certainly the basketball championships are on. You must be of Satan because I like to play on my phone. Or, I tried really hard, which is, that's humanism for I didn't. Isn't that right? I mean, see, how many of you would know that this, when we have faith in the wrong things, we make excuse. Right? Faith in the wrong things, here, we make excuse. The Lord comes and says, I want you to go speak to that person and tell them I love them. Oh, I'm shy. I am. Ooh, I'm painfully shy. There is absolutely no... I would just like you to know, Lord, that I am slow of speech and I am not good with people and I don't like people. And you probably have somebody else who would be better qualified. And certainly, you're not asking me, la, 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 la. Right? Does that happen? Well, I don't even think most of us get to that place. I would say there's very few people who even get to the place where you've heard God and you ignore him. Which is why I asked you to turn off all of those distractions so that you could find out if you're ignoring him. Because most of the time, we're making so much noise, we're like a four-year-old. I want you to clean up your room. La, 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 I can't hear you. Because we're so busy. She gets it. Because we're so busy. I was too busy playing to hear you say clean up my room. I was too busy enjoying what I wanted to do to listen to what you wanted me to do. Right? I didn't hear God. Honestly, I didn't hear him. Okay? So again, is that an excuse? Absolutely. We give ourselves every way out of what he wants us to do. And then we wonder why the church doesn't have power. Why we pray and we don't see miracles. Why we have lives that seem unconverted. I mean, have you heard it said that 80% of the thing is just showing up? Bull. Can I tell you what? There's a lot of people that show up every week at church. 80% is not showing up. 80% is the change that's in you because you have been converted. Because you have had a genuine Holy Ghost experience that has moved you from faith in the wrong thing to faith in the right thing. Because if you are sick, you say you have cancer. We have a good friend. She had cancer. And she believed she was just going to die. Doctors had told her, you got 6 months. You should get your stuff in order. You need your children to be taken care of. And you should probably tell your family goodbye and spend your last 6 months. She had faith in the wrong thing. Until she got surrounded with people who believed and had faith in the King of Kings, who were willing to pray for her, and she went, but I can't, I feel something. I believe something. It was not just it was a genuine conversion experience. She went, I felt like something. Like, kind of got in me. She had tumors all in her lungs. They had images, x-ray images of the tumors, and they said they're growing at a rate that it's really kind of, there's nothing we can do. We could do chemotherapy, and we could do a lot of radiation and those things. It would cost you tens of thousands of dollars and maybe give you a year. I mean, that's pretty hopeless. That's faith in the wrong thing called fear, right? How many of you, if you went to your doctor and they said, news is not good, you would go, praise the Lord, then that leaves place for a miracle. No, because we want to put our faith in the wrong thing. We let fear become our faith. Okay, devil, you win. You know the only way you can lose? To give up. Period. To give up. You can, if God be for you, who can be against you? None. No one can stand in the face of God. I love that song that we sing, the God of angel armies. The God of angel armies. I want you to think about that. Jesus said, do you not know that I could call out to my Father and he would send 12 legions of angels? Can I tell you, everywhere in the Bible where there's an angel, the first thing they say is fear not, and that's one angel. Can you imagine 12,000 angels with swords coming to your protection? Do you know what the demons would do? Holy smoke! Well, do you realize? Do you have faith to believe that God would marshal those same 12,000 angels for you? And he has. At every moment. I love the story of the prophet standing on the walls. And his servant says, "Oh, that I could see." And he says, "All right, let your eyes be opened." And he looks outside and he sees that they are surrounded by the enemy, but he sees angel armies. And you know what he said? "Oh, blind me! Oh, I'm terrified." Now, wait a minute. They're fighting for us. "I don't care. Oh, I'm terrified." Why? Because I'm going to tell you what, the armies of the living God, I want them on my side. I mean, I've said this for years. We were out here at Jefferson County Airport when they had the B-2 bomber come over. When they had the stealth 117s come over. And that B-2 bomber came in, and it just looked like a little sliver. Like really not much more than a goose coming at us. Like, really? Is that thing? And it was dead silent until it came over us, and we realized how big that thing was. And it was very low. And as it turned and flew away, you heard it. I was like, "Oh, man, am I glad they're on my side." Right? Whenever I think about just the force that this nation has, I'm glad that it's on my side. How much greater the armies of the living God. Why is it then we would have faith in an enemy who took, wait a minute, 1/3 of the angels of heaven that fell? So first of all, if you're just a statistical kind of person, 1/3 versus 2/3. The liar and deceiver versus the way, the truth, and the life. The enemy of our souls versus the creator of heaven and earth. Why do we have faith in the loser? Why do we give him so much power? People say, "Well, the devil made me do it." No, the devil didn't make you do it. You chose to do it. There's the bottom line. I chose to have faith in something that was not true. We do it all the time. But you have a choice. You have a choice to have faith in a different perspective, which is, wait a minute, the God of heaven and earth made a way for me to come before him and to boldly enter into the throne room of grace. I see, that's one of my very favorite scriptures. Because, look, as a little kid, when I knew I'd done wrong, trust me, when I had to go tell my father, it was never boldly. It was quietly, scared, terrified, waiting for what was going to happen. But we don't have to do that. We have a God who says, "Add to these faith, because I've given it to you as a gift. Faith, hope, and love. I've given you these three gifts. The greatest of these is love." Faith in what? Love. Why then do we have faith in failure? Why is it easier for us to believe and have faith that we will fail? See, I don't believe that most people think they're going to fail. They're just afraid to succeed. What will I do with success? I mean, because here's the truth. Over 85% of people who win the lottery are worse off in 5 years than when they win. Which to me tells me we have faith in the wrong things. We have thoughts in the wrong things. Why? Because we're looking for an answer that comes from this world instead of an answer that comes from a heavenly realm. Because we put our faith in ourselves and our own failures and weaknesses and insecurities. We put our faith in ourselves and our failures and our insecurities. Just talking to someone today, I said, "Why don't you ride your bike?" "Oh, well, we know how I've done on my bike." I said, "Really? When was that?" "Well, I mean, it just happened last summer." I said, "Last summer would be what? Oh, a year ago? And what would a year ago be?" And she looked at me and went, "The past." I said, "Ding, ding, ding, winner, winner, chicken dinner. Here we go." Look, the beauty of our God and the faith that he has given us is this. "Behold, I've created a new day for you. All things have become new. Rise up in your most holy faith." And today, if you fell on your face yesterday, if you crashed your bicycle, if you spoke harshly to your spouse, if you sinned something that you knew you shouldn't have, today's a new day. "Behold, his mercies are new every morning." So you go, "Okay, Lord, yesterday is behind me. Today is here, and I am going to exist in this moment with faith in you that you have empowered me to live this day to the very best that I can be." Because that's what he's done. He's given us that ability. And here comes that voice. By the way, it ain't the devil, it's you. Here comes that voice that says, "You can't do that. You suck at that. You have failed at that every time you've done it." Now, we go, "Get behind me, Satan." When really you should look in the mirror and go, "Get behind me, stupid. You are not mindful of the things of God. Don't go telling the devil, because the devil isn't mindful of the things of God." But like Jesus told Peter, he said, "You're not mindful of the things of God." He wasn't really calling Peter Satan. He was saying, "That lie in your head, Peter. Do you not have you not picked up the last 3 years? Have you not seen people healed, delivered, raised from the dead, demons cast into swine? Have you not seen those things?" "Yeah, but Jesus, you're talking about dying. That's kind of bumming everybody out. We had kind of a happy time going on. Because we were being all religious." Jesus said, you missed it. I'm talking about the things of God. Be mindful of the things of God. What are the things of God that each and every one of us every day live to the fullest that God has given to us? Now, what does that mean? Does that mean everybody's going to be Billy Graham or a Congressional Medal of Honor winner? Or no. Some have been given different gifts. Some have the gift of mercy. Some have the gift of administration. Some have the gift of leadership. Some have the gift of tongues. We're going to be talking about them. But we have to have that faith to believe that whatever is inside of me, whatever it is, if there is a mustard seed of what? Faith. That I can say to this mountain, "Be thou removed." And why? Not because I'm so great, but because I have taken the tiniest little piece of God that he has given me and exercised it, planted it in the ground, watered it with the Spirit. And what happens? Mustard seeds springs into the mustard tree, which is huge, and gives a place for life. This was the analogy that Jesus was giving. The mustard tree has a place for birds and animals. It brings life wherever it goes. So as it's there, it creates shade. It creates a living space for things. Are you going to allow that mustard seed of faith to be in God? Because that mustard seed of faith in God will create something larger than you can even fathom. But you can take a giant seed of faith in the wrong thing and plant it and water it, and you know what it's going to create? A giant sucking hole that will swallow you. And you will wake up one day and go, I don't even know why I want to do this anymore. So stop planting that faith in the wrong thing, which is fear. Fear of failure. Fear of lack of respect. Fear of insecurity. Fear of the enemy. Fear of myself. Fear of success. Because that becomes your faith system. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So God didn't even say, look, believe what I've told you and it'll all come to pass. He said, look, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You have been given the ability. Proverbs talks about a man's mouth and what it will bring him. It says life and death is in the power of the tongue. So what are you speaking? What are you speaking to yourself? Turn off all those silly things that distract you, but you should. But I have something even simpler. Got a pen? I don't want you to forget this. Put it in your phone. I will let you use your cell phone in church. I promise. If you want to put a reminder, I want you to put this number in. 21. 21. 21 days. Here's what I want you to do. 21 days today. Today is May 1st. So 21 days from today, for the next 21 days, I want you to do this. I want you to write down and then speak out loud so that you can hear it. And yes, you should have one other person hear it. Three things that you are thankful for. Just three things. 21 days. Write it down. By the way, if you're really filled with faith in the right thing, tell more than one person. You're probably going to find at the end of 21 days, you have more than just three things to be thankful for. You know, you might, sometimes we get in this mindset and it's hard to be thankful. But we are told to give thanks in all things at all times. So, I'm thankful for the smell of fresh coffee in the morning. Right next to my bed. Now, I got to tell you, Kimmy, one of my favorite memories as a child is in my parents' cabin, or my grandparents' cabin in Lake Tahoe. With my grandparents, as a little boy, we would sleep in our sleeping bags by the fire, had a little fire, wood-burning stove, and we would be talking and chattering until late, so we would sleep late, which fishing time was 6. And my grandmother, bless her heart, would get up have the coffee percolator going. So those of you who are old enough know what a percolator is. Go bloop, bloop. Go bloop, bloop. Go bloop, bloop. Makes a wonderful smell. And I can remember that sound. And on the propane stove, the smell of bacon filling the cabin, bacon and coffee. I'm thankful for memories. I'm thankful for memories like that that become so, bring a smile to my face. Right? You know what? Another thing I'm thankful for, I'm thankful for the mercy of God. And that we don't always get what we deserve. I'm really thankful for that. I could go on and on because I am filled with thanks. But that's the challenge. As you begin to be thankful, you're going to find your faith in the right thing. Because thanksgiving gives us faith. Because thanksgiving is what they used to do when they would build altars. Do you know why they built altars? To remind themselves. At this place, God brought provision. At this place, God dried up the waters of the River Jordan so that we could cross over. At this place, God parted the Red Sea and then swallowed up the army of Egypt. At this place, God consumed the sacrifice on Mount Carmel. See, that's thanksgiving. God, I am so thankful for the healing that you have brought to my friend. I am so thankful for the freedom that you have given me. Why? Because it gives me faith. And it stirs my holy faith. And so, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Allow your faith to be in the right thing and not in the wrong thing. Lost my quarter. What's that? Ah, there it is. See, fear. Faith. Fear. Faith. What is your faith going to be in? Is your faith going to be in those 2/3 of the angel armies and the creator of heaven and earth? Or is your faith going to be in that 1/3 who fell from heaven and now serve the king of lies? Lies. Never slander celestial beings. God calls him that. He says he is the father of lies. Never slander celestial beings. I don't do that. I won't be calling the devil silly names because that's foolish. The dumbest demon in hell can outthink every one of us here. I'm just going to tell you. We don't need to, because that 1/3, read the book, they lose and are cast into the burning fire in the lake of fire. You and I will walk along the crystal sea, gates of pearl, sardonyx, rubies, jasper, chalcedony, lining the walls. And you know who that temple is? It's you, a ruby, chalcedony, sardonyx, jasper. And you are the gems of God. That's what he has made you. How could we be any less? And why would we believe anything else
if that's who our Creator said we are. Amen? Are you ready to change your faith and put it in the right thing? Because what happens is we begin to look at things we see and make them truth. That's simply circumstance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Oh, God, I wish my wife would act this way. Oh, I wish my husband were more like that. Oh, I wish my finances were... Faith is the substance of things hoped for, not wished for. Wishing, save it for a wishing well, or go find a fairy somewhere and make a wish. Put it under your pillow and hope the tooth fairy takes it away. Don't wish, hope. Faith, hope, and love. These three things remain. Faith, hope, and love. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen, which is love, the love of God, the fullness. So let's put our hope again. Here's one of the things that you'll find when you have hope. You have the ability to dream. If you've lost the ability to dream, then you have allowed your faith in the wrong things to steal your hope. But when you can open up your eyes and dream and believe what you can't see, man, it's so... See, this is a concept that our brains need to grasp. I want you to look at Lacey Craft right there. Look at that beautiful little face. Now, I have faith that someday she will be as tall as her mother, and that someday she will be a beautiful young woman ready to enter into a life of her own. I can't see that, but I have faith, and I have hope for that, and I know that the love of God will bring that to pass. Why can we do that with something so simple, and yet with ourselves, it's categorically out of the question? That you're God's child, don't you think He sees you like that? Now see, you guys don't have adult children. Can I tell you? Yeah. Kimmy does. When you have grandchildren, I'm going to tell you what. It blows me away every time. I'm just like, seriously? How'd that happen? I could never have conceived of that. I always dreamed of it, though. From the time I was a young boy, that's what I wanted. I wanted children, and I wanted grandchildren. Can you get your dreams back again? Get your dreams back again so that you can begin to hope and have faith. Amen? Lord Jesus, Father, I thank you for your word, for your truth. Father, I pray that I have honored you by what you showed me this afternoon. And Father, I ask for a supernatural deposit for each of your believers, Lord God. A deposit of the Holy Spirit. A deposit of the Holy Spirit that will stir once again the embers and the fire of hope and faith. That once again they will dream dreams of greatness, Father God. That they will believe in more than they can see. That Almighty God, you will release us. And we will no longer be bound by the chains of this world, Lord God. But we will walk in the power and the glory of our God in a way that others will say, surely they have been with this Jesus of Nazareth. God, let that be said of us. That these have been with Jesus of Nazareth. Lord, let us be what you have called us to be. Children. Children who believe. You said, such as these is the kingdom of heaven. Let us be as little children, Lord God, who have no problem to dream of reaching the moon, who have no problem to dream of riding an elephant, who have no problem to dream of great things. Let us be as little children, Lord God, once again released to the passion of belief in you. Father, stir our hearts and let us, Father, be released to be all that you have created us to be. In your name.